Let's turn back to Proverbs. Back to Proverbs. Now, remember, we've just completed, for those of you who weren't here first hour, a little review. We completed the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs, and the first nine chapters constitute the author's instructions for how to use the book of Proverbs, what to do with it. And he's telling us that we need to learn God's word, basically. And that's what will keep us from becoming a fool or a scoffer, which are very bad things. And now that we've gone through these chapters, we're ready to take on some of the Proverbs themselves. I wanted to point out some of the people we've been looking at in these first nine chapters. And we've had a succession of people that are undesirable, from the naive, who is marginally undesirable. In Proverbs, he's always an undesirable character. Other places he's spoken of, it's good to be naive when you come to God's word, because it's a word that means open-minded. You should be ready to take in God's word. So in some cases, it can be a good thing to be naive. But in Proverbs, it's always a negative attribute. And that attribute will lead you one of two places, depending on a choice that you make. It will lead you to be either a fool, which will lead on to be a scoffer, and those will get worse and worse, progressively worse, or it will lead you to wisdom if you learn. Because Lady Wisdom, as wisdom is described in these chapters, is personified as a woman, and she's screaming to be heard. Come and listen to me. If you don't want to be naive, if you don't want to have to learn all of your lessons through hard experience, come to me. I can teach you. And that's what God's word is saying to us. You know, come to me. I'll teach you. So we've looked at the naive last hour. Now we're going to progress on to what happens when that naive person fails to make the right choice. Well, he progresses on, as we saw in last hour. It leads to what? Foolishness. So now he's going to become the fool, and that's who we'll look at this hour. The fool, and we won't get to the scoffer, I don't believe, but we'll look at the fool this hour. Now, I chose this picture very deliberately because being a fool has nothing to do with intelligence. Most of you know this guy was very intelligent. But that's not the issue with a fool. And we'll find that out right away. First, the names of the fool. There's three basic names that Proverbs uses for a fool. And by far the most common is the Hebrew word kasil. Kasil, that one should be, that's one of those you should learn. What's a kasil, a fool? Well, that occurs 49 times in the book of Proverbs, that word kasil. And the noun means a stupid fellow, a dullard, according to Brown, Driver, and Briggs lexicon. Stupid fellow, dullard, or fool. Now, we have to remember, though, that in the book of Proverbs, that guy is a fool because of his mental attitude, not because of his intelligence. He's a dullard not because he's incapable of intelligence. He is a dullard because he has a mental attitude that prevents him from learning wisdom. And he's got to change so he can learn wisdom, and he is changeable. The fool is addressed as well as the naive. When wisdom says, naive, turn in here, learn wisdom. Fools, learn knowledge. So the fool is addressed. Come on, learn knowledge. You can do it. It's not too late. Now, the scoffer is going to be even worse. The scoffer is at a place where he's going to have to change who he is before he can even learn wisdom. Because wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and the scoffer has no respect for the Lord. So he's going to have to change that in order to even learn wisdom. So he's in even worse shape than the fool. So see how I'm progressing it along? We went from the naive, just inexperienced, doesn't have the experience, and he has two ways to gain experience. Either God's word can teach him, or he can learn through experience, which is a bad way, because if we learn through experience, the test comes first, then we learn from it. But if we learn God's way, he prepares us for the test so we'll know how to handle it. And that seems like, to me, a much easier, less painful way of doing things, even though wisdom is not easy to find. It's hard. We have to apply ourselves. We have to study. We have to learn. We have to submit. We have to make a choice to have a mental attitude that says, I will be positive to God's word. No matter what I feel like, I don't care what I feel like, I'll be positive to God's word, even if I don't like it. Not easy to do, is it? But it's something that has to be done to gain wisdom. Now, we'll look at Kasiel in several different ways. First, the Kasiel in relationship to himself. The Kasiel, or the fool, is one who does not have the patience to search for wisdom. And remember, in chapter 2 of Proverbs, it's very clear that wisdom has to be dug out like a hidden treasure. It has to be found like silver and gold. It's not just laying on the streets for you to pick up. You have to work at it. So you have to make a choice, and you have to study, and you have to be patient. You know, I've been studying Greek for probably 35 years, and I'm still learning. I still consider myself a student. I'm a student of the Scripture. I don't consider myself a Bible scholar, but I'm a student of the Scripture. I want to know what it says, and I'm learning. But that requires patience. It's been a long, long time, and every time it seems like to me, I don't know if Ruth will vouch for this or not, but every time we have made a decision as a family to do something that would promote that, the study of God's Word and my teaching of God's Word, that every time we made a decision like that, something bad invariably happens. And it's, Carissa's laughing, like we go on vacation, we make a bad choice and something terrible happens, but I have a reputation for vacations. You guys know, whenever I go on vacation, somebody dies or something happens. It's become a kind of a, I shouldn't call it a joke because it's not funny at all. I mean, the first time we went to Estes Park, we got there, got in our room, next morning, got a phone call, your mom died. I mean, I had asked the doctor how she was doing. Oh, she's great. She hasn't been this good in a long time. Go ahead and take vacation. Told my mom. I said, Mom, I'm going to be gone for a little while. Oh, that's okay. I'm feeling pretty good right now. So I go up there and she dies. Next time we were on our way out of town, got a phone call. Jacob Lose died. It's one of my congregants up there. So Carissa did a talk on this, and I guess she had the kids just rolling on the floor with laughter because vacations are just an absolute disaster at my house. And that's totally off topic, but, you know, I feel a little talkative today. But what are you laughing about? Like I never do. But the Kasiel, the fool, he doesn't have the patience to sit down and dig out wisdom. He wants it fed to him. Boy, what does that remind you of? He wants a seeker-friendly church. He doesn't want a church that makes you study. He wants a church that has a Starbucks. so he doesn't have to interrupt his coffee schedule to go to church. They have drive-in churches now in Las Vegas. You know, it's ridiculous. And the teachers pander to these guys. Should we be surprised? What does the New Testament say? They're going to have itching ears, and the teachers are going to pander to those itching ears. I don't. If you don't want to know what God's Word says, you're in the wrong place. You're going to be really bored or really mad or really upset because that's all we do. We teach God's Word, and we have the patience to stick with it. And we've made that decision. It's a done deal. This church is dedicated to teaching God's Word. It was done long before I ever came here, and I'm just carrying on. That's what we do. He thinks you can buy wisdom. The fool, the Casile. Look at 17:16. Proverbs 17:16. Yeah, I don't have time for all this Bible study. I'm just going to go buy some wisdom. Verse 16 says, why is there a price in the hand of a fool to buy wisdom when he has no sense? So here he's got his money. Okay, I'll buy some wisdom. Doesn't work. You cannot buy wisdom. He doesn't take the time to consider or reflect on his opinions. And that's a very dangerous thing. 15:14, Proverbs 15 and verse 14. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. So he feeds on folly. Now, if you stop and break that down a little bit, the word feeds on is the Hebrew word ra'ah. And ra'ah literally means to pasture, to graze. It's what they said when they put the sheep out, the cattle out. We put them out to pasture. That's the word they used. So that's what the fool does. He grazes. Now, it says that the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge. The word seeks is a different word. It's bakash or bakash. And what it means is to seek purposefully. It's prompted by a strong desire to learn. In a theological word book, it says a person's earnest seeking of something or someone. Really, I want to find this knowledge. And I'm going to work for it. But what does the fool do? The Casile, he just takes in anything. So I don't want to work at it. Just like a cow in a field. You ever see a cow in a field? Just, I'll try some over here, try some over there. And invariably, they want to try some on the other side of the electric fence. And then they end up in the middle of the road, and you have to go chase them in. But that's another story. So the wise man seeks wisdom. He has focus. Unlike myself this morning, he has focus. He wants to learn God's word. But the fool, he just takes in anything that comes along. Just like we said last hour, he used the illustration of a ball in a pinball machine. He goes from one to the other, to the other, to the other, just like bumpers on a pinball machine. He finds something and, oh, this is cool. And that, wait a minute. Found something else that's even better. So the fool is carrying on from that. So he doesn't consider his opinions, doesn't reflect on them, just, hey, Ted Danson told me the world was coming to an end in 10 years. Think about it. Do the math. It's nonsense. People, they don't think. They don't consider. Their opinions are just what the media feeds them. You know, we have those two verbs here, ra'a and bakash, and those are mismatched because one says to pasture and one says to seek purposefully. And that gives an edge to this contrast here. This guy is not interested in achievement. Not interested in achievement. He just takes what's easy to get. We called it last hour, the path of least resistance is where he goes. Because he doesn't want the trouble. I don't want to have to learn God's word. I want to go have somebody, you know, entertain me for 45 minutes while I sip Starbucks. And that's fine if you're a fool. And I invite all the fools to go there. But you know, fools can learn. So I'll also give an invitation to the fools. If you're a fool, come on over here. We study the Bible. We learn God's word. The fool hates the truth. Look at 122. Proverbs 122. We looked at this last hour. Talking about the naive last hour when it says, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. So the fool has a negative attitude towards God's word. He hates truth. And yet, he spouts his opinions freely. Look at Proverbs 13. So he's always spouting his opinions, and he hates knowledge. So his opinions are always wrong. And in Proverbs 13:16, it says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. He's out preaching it, giving it away. Listen to me. I'm a fool. I know what's going on. And he would never admit it, of course, but that's what they're doing. This guy has what we call a closed mind and an open mouth. That's his stock in trade. And not only does he hate truth, he misuses truth. And this is very, very dangerous. And that's why we have to be very careful when we approach a fool. Because he can misuse truth. And sometimes that makes us wonder. And we have to be really firmly established in God's word so that we can combat this. Because you know what? The majority of the people you meet outside of this room are going to be fools or scoffers. And that's a sad fact, but it's true. There will be some that aren't. I don't say everybody that doesn't go here is. That's silly. And I don't mind if you listen to other teachers as long as they're teaching God's word. But the majority of the folks you run into are either fools or scoffers, and they can be very dangerous. Look at Proverbs 26:7. It puts it in a very humorous way. Well, it may not be humorous to you, but I have a warped sense of humor. In Proverbs 26:7, it says, like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. So the equipment's there. It just don't work. He's got the equipment. A lame person has the equipment to walk. He's got a set of legs. They just don't work. Well, same way with a fool. If you give him truth, it won't work. He'll use it incorrectly. Look down at 26:9 where it says, like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard. Okay, picture that thorn as a weapon. and it falls into the hand of a drunkard, what's going to happen? Give a drunkard a bow and arrows, you know, practice. Well, they're going to go everywhere. No telling who he's going to kill with it. So, you know what? There's nobody. I say there is no one who is more dangerous than a fool that has a little Bible knowledge. He knows some verses. And the world abounds with these guys. I know my Bible. I know this verse, this verse, this verse, and that verse. Quote Matthew 28:19-20. And you ask him, what's the book of Matthew about? Who was it written to?
I don't know.
How can you know what that little tiny verse means then? So the fool, when he has a little bit of truth, he doesn't know it's truth. He doesn't know what it means. He misuses it. And that's very dangerous because they can get quite adamant about that. He circulates slander, Proverbs 10:18. Says, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. He who spreads slander is a fool. So a fool has spread slander. Now, a wise man knows that someday the truth will come out. So he keeps his mouth shut. The fool, yeah, he spreads it around. Hey, guess what I heard the other day? So if you hate truth, I mean, what do you have left? You have to have something to talk about, right? So you talk about lies or you misuse truth. So the fool is a much more dangerous person than the naive person. The naive person, he just doesn't know. He just doesn't have the experience. The fool, he's dangerous because he knows a little bit. And if he knows a little bit, that makes him even more dangerous. It's very difficult, almost impossible to teach a fool. It's not impossible. Now, a scoffer, it's impossible to teach a scoffer. He has to change from a scoffer to something else before you can teach him. But a fool is difficult to teach. Proverbs 17:10. Says a rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows to a fool. So he's hard to teach. A man who has understanding, one little rebuke, he's going to say, you're right, that's what God's word says. Okay, cool. The fool, you're going to have to beat him on the head with a 2x4 to get him to understand it. So he's very difficult to teach, and that's figurative. I mean, I don't beat people over the head with 2x4s. That's not my style, but, you know, it's figurative. They're very, very difficult to reach and teach, and we have to be careful of that. We have to make sure that our faith is really solid. We have to make sure that we have the answers to those verses he's throwing at us all the time, misusing. And the only way to do that is to know your Bible. And I mean know your Bible, I don't mean know verses. Know it. Know what the book of Matthew is about. Who is it written to? It was written to the Jews. What it was written for? It was the official proclamation of Messiah to Israel. Most people have no concept of what that means. They don't know what Matthew... All they know is, I got a verse in Matthew that says, you'll know them by their fruits. Doesn't know who he's talking about. Doesn't know what he's talking about. That verse falls at the very end of a 3-chapter discourse. How can you possibly understand what it means if you don't understand the preceding 3 chapters, the rest of the discourse? And even the paragraph it's in says, beware of false prophets. It's not talking about believers doing good works. It's talking about prophets. Total misunderstanding, because this person is a fool. He will not get teaching. You can't teach him because he knows the verse. And the root of his trouble is not mental. These guys who go around quoting verses, you know what? That's not a mental problem. That's a spiritual problem, because they refuse to understand the Bible. They just want a verse to throw around. Proverbs 26:11 is a somewhat disgusting illustration of this. That's why I chose it. Proverbs 26:11. It says, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Now that's a mental attitude. And it's kind of interesting, because the word dog, and if you were a Jew, dog would mean more to you than it does to us. Because they thought dogs were nothing short of vermin. They were unclean animals. Why? They ate garbage. They ate corpses, carrion. They licked the blood of dead people. And the Jews thought, these are totally disgusting animals. I'm not sure if I agree with them yet or not. The jury's still out on that one. But they didn't like dogs. So to a Jew, a dog is a really bad example. And in fact, the word dog is always used in a contemptuous way in the Old Testament when you see the word dog. So a dog, this fool is like a dog who goes and licks his own vomit. And then he eats it again. I mean, here his body is just thrown it away because it can't stand it. And he goes back and he has a craving for it. Just like the fool has a craving for his folly. And that's the problem with the fool. It's his mental attitude. He craves his folly. Now we'll find that the scoffer loves his scoffing. He's enamored with it. He thinks he's wonderful because he's a scoffer. Now let's look at the kasil, or the fool, in regard to society. At best, he's a waste of time. Proverbs 14:7. Proverbs 14:7 says, leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. So what good is it talking to him? You know, you're wasting your time. You could be learning God's word, and you're sitting here talking to a fool who is spouting nonsense, human viewpoint. So he wastes your time. Now, at worst, he's dangerous. It's not only a waste of time, he can be dangerous. And we noted that a naive person could be dangerous, but a fool is dangerous on a higher level. Look at 10:23. Says, doing wickedness is like sport to a fool. Look at 17:12 too. We'll look at a couple more of those. 17:12, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Now, do you think a bear robbed of its cubs would be a dangerous thing to run into if you're taking a hike in the forest and you left your .44 Magnum at home? That'd be dangerous. But the fool's even more dangerous than that. So if you listen to the folly of a fool, you had better make sure that you're prepared, that you have your Smith & Wesson 500. And that's what the Bible is. So he can be very dangerous. If he gets an idea in his head, and his folly. He loves his folly, right? We saw that before. So think in terms of society. We were talking about terms of your own safety. Now think about society. How does the fool relate to society? He loves his folly. If he gets an idea in his head, he's going to make trouble for everybody. Nothing's going to stop him. Think PETA. Think Greenpeace. Those people are dangerous because they have a foolish idea in their head that animals are on a same level as humans. A man is a dog, is a rat, is a boy. No difference. Have I told the story about the submarine and the Groton? We used to live in Connecticut. If you heard it before, then just laugh and humor me, okay? We lived in Connecticut, and in Connecticut, there's a big submarine base there the Navy has in Groton, Connecticut. And right across the river from Groton is the Electric Boat Company. And the Electric Boat Company is where they make nuclear submarines. So they had a big deal. They were going to take a brand new boomer, that's what they call nuclear missile submarines, and they were going to take this boomer from Electric Boat and sail it over to the Groton, you know, Navy Yard. So there they are in the river. About halfway through the river, here comes a motorboat up full of Greenpeace people, and they start hammering on the hull of this submarine with hammers. These guys are dangerous. I mean, they didn't get very far. Can you imagine what the captain of this brand new nuclear attack submarine would do to somebody who came up and started hitting his submarine with a hammer? I think they made it to jail alive, though. I really do. But, you know, these people can be very dangerous. They do dangerous things because they have a folly in their head and nothing's going to get it out of it. Fools are dangerous people. So we're told to avoid them. 13:20. said, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So why will you suffer harm? Because foolishness is contagious. It can get you. It really can. We have to be careful. Again, it's all a decision. What am I going to take in through my sensory input? Am I going to take in foolishness, human viewpoint, or am I going to take in divine viewpoint? Now, if I hang around with somebody who knows a lot about God's word, I'm going to take in divine viewpoint. But if I hang around somebody that's a fool, I'm not going to learn anything. What a waste of time. And that may sound cruel, but it's a matter of priorities. My time is best spent in God's word. That's why I don't debate much. I don't do that much. I used to. I know all the arguments for creationism. I know all the arguments for the Genesis flood. I know all the arguments for the resurrection. But I don't debate much anymore. Because if I go to debate, the first question I ask is, what will it take for me to convince you that you're wrong? And you know what? There isn't anything. There's nothing. Because I was talking with a guy, he used to go here. He's a doctor of psychiatry, and he used to go here to Beth Haven, and he's a friend of Carl Dante's. And we ran into each other, and we were talking about truth and how you debate and how you know truth. And he said, you know what? The thing that cancels debates is a priori's, because everybody's opinion is based on an a priori. You know what an a priori is? That means you can't go back any further. That's the basis. Some people have an a priori that God doesn't exist and things came about through time and chance. Now, if they have that a priori, I don't care how much evidence you show them. You show them helium retention and Precambrian zircon crystals. You show them polonium halos in Precambrian granites. You show them U-238 halos in Precambrian granites that are complete. And they're supposed to have a half-life of 4.5 billion years. And they're complete. And it takes 7 half-lives to complete a decomposition of a radioactive material. The numbers don't work. You know what they'll say? Ah, your data's wrong. You know, that can't be right. So it's a matter of a priori's. You know how they date rocks? They date rocks by the index fossils that appear in them. Say, this rock has this fossil, therefore it must be this age. You know how they date the index fossils? By the rocks they're in. No, I'm serious. They do that with a straight face. And they say, oh, we have all these modern dating techniques. You know, we have uranium lead's kind of old-fashioned now. That used to be the one they used. We have a sample of a rock, and we have so much lead and so much uranium, and it takes X number of years for uranium to turn into lead as it degrades. So it has to be this old. And they've dated rocks from Mount St. Helen to be 2 million years old that were formed just a few, decades ago. So what do they do when they do that? They throw it out. Say, corrupted data. You see how many a priori's are built into that system of dating anyway? How many assumptions? They assume that it started as all uranium. How do you know that? Maybe it started as part lead and part uranium? Maybe there's already lead in it. How do you know that? Well, I can tell because if I go back to the fossil record, I can match it up. And anything that doesn't match the fossil record, they say, well, it's just a... you can't argue. And that's my point, I guess. I'm rambling. I understand that. But if we hang around with people who are fools and we try to argue with them, try to convince them, it won't work because they have to change their a priori's in order to understand. And that's a matter of the Holy Spirit working. You know, we don't just go around changing our very basic ideas or how we look at the world, as Francis Schaeffer used. You know, Francis Schaeffer said a wonderful thing. There's a very basic question in philosophy. And if anybody wants to argue with you about cosmology, about the flood, about anything else, ask them this question first. Why is there something instead of nothing? Now think about that for 6 months. And that's what Francis Schaeffer said. Take this concept and think about it for 6 months. Why is there something instead of nothing? And if they can answer that, then you can go on to have a discussion with them. But if they can't, then their a priori's are hanging out there. Now the fool, back to the fool, those who love the fool pay a high price. Now you say, well, who would love a fool? You know, parents, you can't really get away from your kids. And most parents don't want to. No matter how many bad decisions they make, no matter what they do, they're your kids. You know, and you can raise a fool, but that doesn't disconnect you from them. In fact, look at Proverbs 10:1. Proverbs 10:1, and this is the first proverb after the author's introduction, which says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Now, that doesn't mean he's not a grief to his father either. That's a figure of speech we looked at when we first started our study of Proverbs. But these people pay a high price, and it's very sad. 17:21. says, he who sires a fool does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. So the price is high. How about those who hire him? They pay a high price too, as Proverbs tells us in 26:6. Proverbs 26:6. And this is kind of sad, especially in our culture, because once you hire somebody, it's really difficult to get rid of them now. I mean, you can't just say, you're a fool, I don't want you here anymore, get out. That's an open door to a discrimination suit. He's discriminating against me because I have polydactyly. I have six toes on one of my feet. Or any conceivable thing you could think of. But 26:6 says, he cuts off his own feet and drinks violence who sends a message by the hand of a fool. So if you choose a fool for a messenger, you're in big trouble. Like cutting off your own feet. What an illustration of the price that you have to pay. Now we have the other two words, and I'll just fly through these because they don't really say much different than the kasil. The kasil is the big one. And another word is evil. And evil is an adjective. It means foolish. And it's virtually the same as the kasil. In fact, the folly of the kasil is often called eveleth, which is from the word evil. So the folly of a fool is another word for a fool. So they're virtually the same. Some of his characteristics. Proverbs 17:28. He gives himself away when he opens his mouth. 17:28 says, even a fool when he keeps silent is considered wise, but once he opens his mouth, heard the old saying, it's better to keep quiet and let people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and prove they're right. He's quarrelsome. Proverbs 23:23. That is 20, verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. So he's quarrelsome, contentious, pugnacious. Talking to a fool is harder than physical labor. 27:3. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but the provocation of a fool is heavier than both of them. He has a negative attitude towards God and his word. We saw that in Proverbs 1. Remember Proverbs 1:7, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So he has a negative attitude towards God's word, and he doesn't take sin seriously. 10:23. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool. So is wisdom to a man of understanding. So doing wickedness is like sport, and that word sport is literally like laughing. So doing wickedness is like laughing to a fool. it's something he gets a big kick out of. He finds it satisfying. Doing the wrong thing has become so much part of his character that he enjoys it. It's what he does. That's why it's dangerous to be a fool. And he is to be corrected early. In 22:15, and this sheds a little light on all of us. 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What does that mean? We're all born little fools. But if you go on, it says, the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. So he's to be corrected early. The third word, I'll just give you the verses because it doesn't really add anything to what we've learned. The third word translated fool is naval, and naval occurs only four times in Proverbs, and you can look them up. It's 17:7, 17:21, 30:22, and 30:32. Now, as bad off as the fool is, there's somebody even worse. The scoffer. We'll get to him next time. Father, thank you for your word, which is living and powerful. Thank you for this book of Proverbs. In Christ's name, amen.